I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are now going to start our conversation about the power of Milwaukee's conservative radio, the influence of Milwaukee's conservative radio. Talking first with a guest who says it is very powerful and it needs to be monitored and it needs to be countered. And we will wonder what you think. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our first guest is Robert Craig, the executive director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, whose new campaign, Radio Active, will monitor conservative talk radio in Milwaukee and is going to explore launching a community-owned progressive talk station in the city. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Great to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. So, what is the problem you see with conservative talk radio in Milwaukee?
And let me just give you a little bit of background. We have something, a new organizing model called an organizing cooperative, where members are member owners and they commit to around $20 a month and they get a share in governance and plan issues. We established one of these in southeast Wisconsin last year. We have another one in western Wisconsin that's in the building stages right now. But it's that group of people and their issue groups who identified this as a problem to work on. So this came from our member owners in southeast Wisconsin. And their concern, and I share it obviously, is that we have five dominant right-wing radio shows on the two dominant news information commercial stations in southeast Wisconsin. And no balance whatsoever, no moderate hosts, no progressive hosts. And they have for years had basically a monologue that has impacted our political culture in southeast Wisconsin. And they are entirely for pushing a far-right agenda. In fact, Governor Walker's rise to governorship was based in part on these shows. And they also are very divisive. That is, they divide based on race, based on suburb versus the city of Milwaukee. And we think they have a pernicious impact on the political culture here. And if you live around here, when you get to election time, they are literally doing get out the vote for conservative candidates, where they are finding emotional issues to get their voters to the polls. And without any balance at all, we think this distorts kind of the entire issue in political culture here in southeast Wisconsin. And there are a number of even conservative politicians that have lost their seats because they cross these talk show hosts.
Well, on your website, you do say that without the right wing's monopoly on Milwaukee talk radio, there would be no Scott Walker. How can you attribute his rise to a 3 times elected governor because of talk radio in Milwaukee?
Yeah, and he's a very skilled politician. Don't get me wrong. So what we are saying here is that he used the power of right wing radio here in Milwaukee. As a young state assemblyman, he got name recognition. He built up, and by the way, the recall election for Milwaukee County Executive over a pension scandal, a former County Executive Amond, that led to his elevation to that office was a right-wing radio-generated backlash. And so his rise to office from just a regular state assemblyman to County Executive, and then using that to eventually run for governor, was enabled by this media monopoly in Milwaukee. And so what we're interested in looking at here is how to break that monopoly and how to have balance. And it's entirely different than, say, Wisconsin Public Radio. Your next guest will probably say that Wisconsin Public Radio is the liberal alternative. As you know, we will both be on this show, Joy, so that is very different. Wisconsin Public Radio is rigorous and it's providing all points of view. I have never been on any of the right-wing radio shows in Milwaukee, despite over a decade and a half of work here.
Yeah, as you're right, our next guest from Media Trackers will say while talk radio may be a conservative stronghold in Milwaukee, liberals essentially have everything else in the mainstream media. Not only Wisconsin Public Radio as an alternative, but that the rest of the media is liberal. How do you respond to that?
That's what the far right believes, and they state as a narrative. We think it's absolutely absurd. I mean, if you look at the major TV stations in Milwaukee, you look at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, no fair-minded person would consider them liberal. By liberal or progressive, say, having the point of view that I'm expressing here. Do they take a lockstep far right view? No, and that's how they define liberal. Anything that's not exactly what they want and they believe is defined as liberal, basically. So I would call that a bait and switch. And it has, Joy, other pernicious effects. The racial divisions we have in Southeast Wisconsin, and we have the worst racial disparities in the country in a lot of areas, economically in terms of the criminal justice system. The main stock of these right-wing shows is to accentuate these divisions and blame every problem on people in the city of Milwaukee, which is code for African-Americans, Latinos, other minorities.
1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you would like to talk with Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, talking with us about Citizen Action's new campaign, Radio Active, which will monitor conservative talk radio in Milwaukee and explore launching a community-owned progressive talk station in Milwaukee. Gordon in Wisconsin Rapids is with us first. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, good morning, Joy. See, I'm a little disappointed with your Robert Craig here. He's talking about Milwaukee radio being racist. I mean, I've been listening to Charlie Sykes for years, and I've never had heard him be racist at all. He's very informative, and it's a good program, and it's really disappointing.
Are you calling the hosts in particular racist, Robert Craig?
Look, if you read a book like, Ian Haney Lopez's Dog Whistle Politics, it's well understood now that overt racism, for the most part, though Mark Belling, that one talk show host here, has occasionally delved into it, but overt racism is not socially acceptable anymore, and so the racist code is coded. And so there's a way, if you talk about poor people who are dependent on government, conservative white voters understand that to mean African-American people, just for example. And so if you listen to Charlie Sykes, it's a very carefully crafted code, but it creates those kind of divisions. And the denial that the caller is expressing, that is exactly part of it. In other words, you're able to act on a racist impulse while not feeling you're being racist at all. And a lot of the audience doesn't know it, quite frankly. It wouldn't work if the audience felt it was racist. So in many ways, your caller is an example of how effective it is. But media scholars who look at this would look and monitor right-wing radio would consider that there to be a racial code. And part of what we want to do, Joy, is to monitor this very carefully and to explain this and to document it. And so that would be part of the project, actually, is to actually have volunteers listen to these all five programs and to document this.
So talk a little bit more about what you want to do. You're going to just sort of write down specific examples of things that are said or fact-checked things that are said. Is that what is it that you want to accomplish with the monitoring?
Yeah, it's less of a fact check. We have things like PolitiFact, though some of that will go on because there are a lot of false statements that are made on a daily basis. When I tell you, it doesn't take long to hear one. But it is to document exactly what the themes are, exactly how they're connected, what they're saying about, say, immigrants, what they're saying about African Americans, what they're saying about poverty across the shows. But then the point of it is not only to expose what's going on, but it is to put pressure on these media companies. We have corporations that have access to the public airwaves that are not providing anything remotely like balance. And we have advertisers who are underwriting it, many of them not necessarily political in nature. And so part of this is to put pressure on these media corporations to have balance. But to do that, we need to document the case. So we would have volunteers monitoring and figuring out exactly what's going on and also finding examples of the coded racial appeals that I'm talking about. But the point is to try to get balance with that information.
Let's go to Jim in Milwaukee. Hi, Jim.
Hi there. Good morning. I, too, am a little bit insulted because I do listen to those shows, too, but I've called into Joy's show often, and I listen, and I watch MSNBC more than I do Fox, and I still think when I see this, the right wing's monopoly, okay, you use those terms, and then I look at the recent Act 10 online survey that was done on Joy's show, and by WPR, where 96% said Act 10 was bad. 96%. I mean, where are those ignorant people from Milwaukee calling in? Because Milwaukee gets WPR, as does Racine, Kenosha. When I drive in my car, I usually only get WPR. So where are you drawing the line, and would you only monitor right-wing talk show?
Jim is, I will say that when we do an online poll, it is shared via the internet widely. It's not just people who listen to Wisconsin Public Radio who are voting in something like that. But is that proof that WPR is liberal, and therefore are you going to be monitoring what WPR is saying in the market as well, Robert Craig?
Well, I mean, that doesn't mean the content is not balanced. I mean, I think any fair reading of Wisconsin Public Radio would be that it's rigorous. The model is to provide both sides. Now, if you want to argue that people who want to hear both sides will tend to oppose Act 10, that might be the case, but it's not because of a bias on Wisconsin Public Radio causing that opinion. If you listen to right-wing radio in Milwaukee and you can flip around every morning or afternoon, it is rigorously pro Scott Walker. It is rigorously pro a Republican winning the White House, and it sets up issues over time to eventually elect far right candidates. And the people you see in the legislature from Southeast Wisconsin and Governor Walker are shaped by that. And so it's a very different thing. We don't see any reason to monitor Wisconsin Public Radio, though. Quite frankly, if there was a problem there, we certainly would look at it. But we have not identified that as a problem. It is, I mean, the Southeast Wisconsin, Joy, is a very diverse area, a lot of Democratic voters in Southeast Wisconsin. The idea that there would not be one commercial progressive talk radio host, and that we've had only the far right represented, shows an incredible distortion in the market and a distortion in kind of the public square where we make decisions and how we work together as citizens in a democracy.
We will talk more in just a moment with Robert Craig, who is with Citizen Action of Wisconsin, about this new campaign, this new effort called Radioactive that would monitor conservative talk radio in the Milwaukee market. And we'll welcome more of your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Now we have a few more minutes with Robert Craig, the Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, whose new campaign, Radioactive, will monitor conservative talk radio in Milwaukee and explore launching an alternative, a community-owned progressive talk station in the city. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you would like to join in. In just a few minutes, then, we will be welcoming in a different perspective on this. We'll talk with a guest from Media Trackers who wrote a piece on this entitled Citizen Action Declares War on Conservative Talk Radio. Robert Craig, are you declaring war on conservative talk radio?
We're declaring war on there being a right-wing monopoly. We're perfectly fine with that perspective being on the public airwaves. It's a matter of there being nothing else. And if you think about it, if we have 15 hours a day in Southeast Wisconsin, because it goes beyond Milwaukee, these are big stations, of essentially infomercials for far-right politicians and candidates that turns into a get-out-the-vote effort. If we at Citizen Action Wisconsin and our 38,000 members statewide wanted to buy that time, it would be astronomical. You couldn't do it. And so that's what we're trying to break, is this monopoly. We believe that if the public is exposed to all perspectives, they will make good decisions, and they have to in a democracy. If you believe in Democrat form of government, it's when they only hear one side that you have a problem.
Chad in New Berlin is with us. Hello, Chad.
Good morning, Joy. I'm really hoping at some point, Joy, you tell us that this is a giant early April Fool's program. This, Robert, is the epitome of the elitist leftist stereotype. He couldn't be more stereotypical if he wanted.
I want you, Chad, to address his concern that there's only conservative talk radio in Milwaukee, and he thinks it should be balanced or countered. What do you say to that specifically?
Well, two things. First of all, he's telling me as a conservative that I'm not smart enough to recognize the code words that he, as the progressive, has to tell me when these things are being said, and he fails to remember that it is a commercial radio station. It's only going to be listened to if it has a message people want to hear. There was a progressive radio station in Madison. In fact, it was called Air America. It was a progressive network.
And Chad, I did not cut you off. You dropped off on your own, but we got the point there. So progressive radio like Air America was not successful because people don't want to hear that message, Robert Craig. What do you say to that first?
Well, I think folks who want to hear only a right-wing message make this argument that somehow the market has selected this. But it's really hard to believe that if you look at an area as diverse as Southeast Wisconsin, how many progressives and Democrats there are, that it would result in something where you have only a far-right perspective. I mean, there's obviously a huge distortions in all of this that have to do with these media companies and the way they're structured and real openness. We've had in the last 30 years a huge decline in balance. We used to actually have requirements that if you use the public airwaves, you had to provide some level of balance. That's no longer the case. And so I just don't believe that this could possibly reflect the market of Southeast Wisconsin. It's obviously highly distorted, and it distorts our democracy as well.
Now, what about his point that you think he's dumb and he can't think for himself?
It's not about whether Charlie Sykes' listeners or Mark Belling's listeners can think for themselves. It's a matter of whether we provide on the public airwaves some level of balance and some diversity of opinion. And so it's quite frankly, he shouldn't worry about that if he thinks his perspective is right. It's fascinating that the only way to respect his point of view seems to be to allow only his point of view to be broadcast on the public airwaves.
Yeah. Marine emails, I don't want right-wing radio. I don't want progressive radio. I want balanced radio. I want to listen to news radio. I want to be informed. I want to be provided with options and information. So what about that middle ground viewpoint?
I think I want to see a media market that is like that. In other words, it doesn't mean that every show is balanced, but people have access to a lot of different perspectives. Because if we have a marketplace of ideas, then I really do believe that the best ideas will win out. If you don't have that, that's when you really have a challenge to democracy. And we have people who are very busy, who are trying to live their lives, trying to get ahead, try to live in a very difficult economy. If they flip on the radio and they only hear one side, that's just not good for our society or for our democracy.
Yeah, we need to let you go so we can be fair and balanced and bring in our other guest. But leave us with when are we likely to, see the media landscape change in Milwaukee?
Well, at this point, we're just starting a campaign to do this. And so if people want to get involved, they can go to the CIS National Wisconsin website. But this is going to be a long-term process. We think accountability for these media companies and what they're putting on the airwaves is the beginning. But we would want to explore, if that isn't enough to get balance, actually owning a radio station, a community-based station, a commercial station, what have you. But this will be a process. And as if you're starting this campaign in the first place, Joy, this all depends on people being interested and want to get involved in this. We're only doing this because our member owners and our organizing cooperative felt really strongly about this and are working very hard on this and want to do it. But it's a question of how many others join them as to whether this will ever come to fruition.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy. Take care and good luck with the pledge drive.
Thank you. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, talking with us about the new campaign, Radio Active, that will monitor conservative talk radio in Milwaukee and will explore launching a community-owned progressive talk station in the city. Now, another perspective. Brian Sikma joins us. He is the Communications Director for Media Trackers, and his recent piece on this topic is titled Citizen Action Declares War on Conservative Talk Radio. We'll continue taking your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Good to be on with you this morning.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Well, you probably heard a little bit of Robert Craig from Citizen Action of Wisconsin. He says it's time to break the grip of the right-wing talk radio monopoly in Wisconsin. What do you make of that call to action?
Well, certainly I think that if Robert Craig is able to build a AM or FM station that basically is able to broadcast the political perspectives that he prefers, that's commendable, because it is no easy task to break into a media market or to be able to launch an FM or AM radio station. And certainly the marketplace of ideas benefits from a diversity of viewpoints. And Right now, I would take issue with some of his assertions with this entire project. He seems to believe that talk radio is monolithic right now, particularly on the AM dial in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee in particular. But we have AM stations across the state that follow the conservative talk radio format, and they're not at all monolithic. There's a diversity of viewpoints on a variety of issues. They may not be touting what might be considered progressive or liberal ideas, but when it comes to prescriptions for what conservatives and state government should do, when it comes to looking at candidates for public office, there is certainly a diversity of viewpoints. Because each one of these radio hosts, who is to be commended, I think, for being extraordinarily successful and working hard to not only build a following for their show, but to basically bring a profit in for their stations in what is a difficult environment for media. We live in a time when media is very changing, and there's a lot of evolutions taking place. And each of these radio hosts that Robert Craig seems to despise in some way, shape, or form actually does an outstanding job of at least providing what their listeners want. And if there needs to be a challenge to that, then certainly that could be litigated in the court of public opinion with another station, with other programming, with different hosts challenging those ideas. But I don't think there needs to be any sort of a return to previous regulatory climate that stifled and silenced and muzzled free speech on the public airwaves by deciding that you couldn't have too much of one perspective or another.
Yeah, so how influential are Charlie Sykes, Mark Belling, Vicki McKenna, other conservative talk shows, talk show hosts in Milwaukee? We heard Robert Craig say that without them, there would be no Scott Walker.
Well, certainly, you know, they've played a very influential role in how Wisconsin politics has unfolded over the past 5-6 years now. They've expounded their opinions about public policy issues. They've shared their perspectives on candidates for public office. But that's not something that's new in Wisconsin politics or new in the media debate as a whole, because for years, of course, we've seen, prior to the rise of AM talk radio, we've seen newspaper editorial boards that at one point were fairly evenly split between Republicans and Democrats. I mean, there was major newspapers across the country in big cities that were seen as quote-unquote Republican papers because of their editorial perspective. There were papers that were quote-unquote Democratic papers because editors and owners favored a Democratic candidate or a Democratic Party platform. And so now that debate is kind of split, not just among newspapers anymore, but it's kind of split now among media formats. You have, of course, television stations, which tend not to get as involved with political perspectives at this particular point in time. But you have newspapers, which, in my analysis, have been fairly favorable, at least to liberal candidates, if not always on the editorial board, then at least through some of the journalistic perspectives. And that editorial freedom should carry over to talk radio. There's nothing unusual, I should say, about how talk radio in Wisconsin has unfolded and how, you know, it's conservative, because those are editorial choices that every single media outlet, whether you're an online blog or whether you're a radio station or whether you're a print media format like a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or a Wisconsin State Journal, there has to be an editorial slant. You have to pick that as a publication or as a media outlet, and then you run with it. And so these conservative talk radio is really kind of a counterbalance to what we've seen with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which through its straight news reporting as well as through its online, digital, and print editorializing has typically been extremely skeptical of Governor Scott Walker. And that's okay. It's okay to have a very healthy and robust debate. And so talk radio, while it is certainly in a different format and a different medium, than the Journal Sentinel is in the Milwaukee market, at least able to provide a different opinion and editorial perspective.
We are talking with Brian Sikma, Communications Director for Media Trackers, talking with him about his recent piece, Citizen Action Declares War on Conservative Talk Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We spoke with a guest in our first half hour who says right-wing radio has a monopoly in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee in particular, and needs to be monitored and countered. Now we are talking with a guest who is defending conservative talk radio and who says it balances out the left-wing dominance of the rest of the media. And we wonder what you think. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Brian Sikma is our guest, Communications Director for Media Trackers. His recent piece is titled Citizen Action declares war on conservative talk radio. Let me, Brian, get you to respond first before we take calls, and we have many of them, to Robert Craig's comments in our first half hour, who says that the five conservative hosts in Milwaukee are, they spew racist talk, dog whistle politics, hateful content, and are responsible for splitting cities and suburbs, for shifting public opinion to the far right, and are largely setting an extreme agenda at the state capitol. What's your response to that?
Well, first of all, I don't think there's any sort of racial spewing going on over on the AM talk dial in Milwaukee. There was one point, unfortunately, where a prominent host at one particular station made a comment that he later apologized for, and later was actually briefly, by his own station, I might point out, removed from the airwaves for a cooling down period, proving that these station owners and station management, who have the most to win or lose when a host messes up, are more than willing to take the disciplinary steps necessary to make sure that a hateful word or a vulgar word is not uttered on their station. But I could take Robert Craig's assertion a little bit more seriously if he'd been outspoken about Sly Sylvester or some of the liberal talk hosts who host on the FM dial or the AM dial in Milwaukee. There is one AM station that does have a progressive show on it, but you know, in particular, Sly Sylvester, who was briefly on the AM dial, then off for a little bit, now he's back on the FM dial in Madison, has made some pretty vulgar comments about women, about people he politically disagrees with, even going so far as to call prominent African-Americans Aunt Jemima's for disagreeing with him. So it's unfortunate that there's an immediate resort to just assuming that if someone disagrees with you, they are racist. That's an absurd assertion. And, you know, whenever liberal talk show hosts have made these comments, Robert Craig hasn't said anything. And I think conservative talk radio has been pretty consistent in policing itself and in holding itself accountable for any sort of conduct that would be unbecoming like that.
Chris in Milwaukee joins us. Hello, Chris.
Hi. I want to say one thing about the Journal Sentinel. I mean, they really did help elect Scott Walker. They've got a PolitiFact that calls the right-wing lies half-truths. My Republican friend moved down to Raleigh, North Carolina, and called me and said, boy, was he wrong. The Journal Sentinel was really right-wing compared to the papers down there, and this was a good Republican. I'll tell you, I've been listening to Mark Levin. He says the same thing day after day after day. And he's very mean. If I tried calling, he would ridicule me. I've heard him call politicians names. I want to know, you tell me there's one guy with one show out in Madison. I'm not in Madison. I need to know a left-wing radio where they won't let right-wing people on without calling them names, and where they keep saying the same things over and over day after day.
Well, so Chris is saying that she can't get on, she can't talk to any of the conservative talk radio shows as a liberal. Is that true, Brian?
Well, every single show has their own format, their own setup, and talk radio is part news, it's part opinion programming, and let's be honest, it can be part entertainment, much like cable news can be. I mean, you have cable news channels that are there to provide you news, but there's also entertaining shows. They also try to have that entertainment level. It's part of the blessing or the curse, depending upon how you want to look at it, of a 24/7 news cycle now. And, you know, if people are offended by what conservative talk radio hosts are saying, they are more than free to flip the dial. And, you know, that's why I think Robert Craig is to be commended for wanting to launch a competing station. Now, I don't think that the situation is as dire as he would make it out to be with talk radio in Milwaukee, but if he wants to have a station that kind of espouses his political perspectives, that's to be commended. There's nothing that would be harmful in that. That's a wonderful thing to increase and broaden the exchange of ideas. You know, the concern that I had whenever I wrote our piece for Media Trackers about this new Citizen Action project is how they have said they want to use a regulatory perspective to try to file complaints against talk radio hosts, and there's really no need for that. In fact, under the Obama administration, the FCC, which regulates all forms of broadcast, decided that in a case stemming from Milwaukee just in 2014, that what's called the Zapple Doctrine has no effect anymore on American broadcasters. the Zappel Doctrine requires that a candidate's supporters get equal airtime on the airwaves. Conservative talk radio was the test case for this here in Wisconsin, and there was someone who filed a complaint against two prominent AM stations in Milwaukee, WTMJ and WISN, with the FCC, and they asked the FCC to deny reauthorization or reissuance of broadcast licenses using the Zappel Doctrine, which is a federal regulatory structure premised on the old Fairness Doctrine, which kind of went away under the Reagan administration. And they said that the Zappel Doctrine should require that on the same station there be a competing host who could share perspectives and ideas that may be not shared by conservative talk radio hosts. And the FCC, which is currently made up of all Obama appointees, said that the Zappel Doctrine has no effect because the FCC does not want to get into regulating station programming or station content because that would be censorship. So, you know, at issue here is the fact that, on the one hand, you don't need the government to come in and regulate or censor talk radio. And if there is a market demand, however, for a left-wing radio station, then it by all means should go forward because there's a market need for it, there's a demand, and anyone should be able to meet that demand.
Yeah. Well, what about her contention that she wants a progressive talk radio station in Milwaukee? You said there was one?
Yes. Actually, WNOV has at least the Sherwin Hughes show, which is a liberal progressive talk format show. I don't actually have the actual call or the actual frequency of that.
But
that is at least one show that you can certainly tune into. And you know, keep in mind that this is something that you know, it's unfair to say that the debate is simply over who controls the AM or the FM dial. This is a broader media perspective. You know, you have the Shepherd Express, which is a publication that is not at all conservative-leaning. That is an alternative news source. You have the Journal Sentinel editorial board. If you go onto their digital content features, you have a lot of different voices, including some very prominent Milwaukee progressives. I know Robert Craig has contributed to the digital content of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who are able to engage in this discussion. So I can understand that people may not like the fact that their preferred format, such as radio, is always available. But, you know, there's no right to having your opinions available on a particular format. There's simply the freedom to express those opinions in any way possible.
Yeah, she also was saying that the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is not liberal. Very briefly, as we're running short on time, with, you know, saying that they PolitiFact isn't liberal, and they helped. Didn't they endorse Walker? That she's saying they're not liberal.
Well, the editorial board did endorse Governor Scott Walker, but there have been numerous editorials highly critical of him. And separate from that, you have the PolitiFact feature, and I've talked to the folks at PolitiFact, and frankly, I would just have to disagree with her assertion of that, because there are many times where they have, by their editorial choices, not chosen to PolitiFact certain statements by high-profile progressive politicians in Wisconsin. And so I think that could be a debate about editorial content choices, and you know, where I would disagree with them, and maybe she would disagree with them as well for different reasons. But again, you know, at the end of the day, there should be this freedom for her to criticize talk radio. There should be this freedom for talk radio to criticize other media outlets. But there shouldn't be a desire to want to report someone to the federal government or to censor the airwaves using the force of law or federal regulation. There should be this exchange of ideas. There should not be this presumption of guilt just because someone disagrees with your perspective.
Yeah. So we'll wrap up here. What do you think the landscape of talk radio is going to look like in a few years in Milwaukee? More progressive, more conservative? What do you think?
Well, at this point, I don't see it changing substantially. I mean, if this is able to bring a new full-time dedicated progressive show to Milwaukee, this new project by Citizen Action, that could change it a little bit. But, you know, by and large, you have pretty faithful listening audiences, the two big AM talkers right now in the city. I don't see that changing at this particular point in time. I would be interested to see a progressive format flourish in Milwaukee. It's struggled. There was an FM transmitter that kind of rebroadcasted some of the programming that's available in Madison on the FM dial that's of a more progressive talk perspective. So it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds, but I don't see that anything that Citizen Action would do would in any way dent the audiences that listen to the conservative talk show hosts. I think it would just be a more diverse climate if they're able to launch a show, and I think for that, Milwaukee would be better.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Brian Sikma, Communications Director for Media Trackers. His recent piece is Citizen Action Declares War on Conservative Talk Radio. In our first half hour, we heard from Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, about its new campaign, Radio Active, which will monitor conservative talk radio in Milwaukee and will look into launching a community-owned progressive talk station in Milwaukee.